Hello and welcome to the That's Tough podcast. I'm Jake Harmon, joined by my good friend, my childhood hero. I guess I can say that again.
And double down just, on the childhood hero thing. Yeah, I like it.
An overall good guy. And the co-host of this podcast, Landon Twombly. Landon, how you doing today, man?
Dude, I'm good. How are you?
Dude, I'm doing well. I'm excited. We put the first episode out. We had a little bit of difficulty. Podcasting is kind of hard.
So you told me. I'm going to be honest with you and our listeners. I've not listened to it. I don't even know how to listen to it.
Well,
I know there's a link that I don't have.
Let me tell you how to listen to
it. Please tell me how to listen to it.
You can follow us on Instagram
at
the That's Tough Pod. You can also follow us on Twitter at @thatstough_pod. And we have an email, thetoughpodcast@gmail.com. So those are some ways that you can interact with us on social media. We're working on trying to get the podcast on multiple podcasting sites like Spotify, Apple Music, that type of thing. It's on, but the way you can listen to episode zero is you can go to any of for example, the Instagram bio. There's a link for it there. You're going to probably have to download the Podbean app, but you can do that and listen to it there.
Wow.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get those things sorted out and make it a little bit easier to listen to.
We're working on it.
Yeah. I had a couple of people contact me on how to listen to it, but we'll get that sorted out and keep these episodes pumping out.
Yeah. Keep recording them. Before we move into the topics of the day in any capacity, I think we need to do a little disclaimer for episode zero, because we talked about the Indianapolis 500.
Oh, yes.
On episode zero.
We need to correct this.
And we made a bit of a blunder in our conversation.
Kind of an epic blunder, I would say.
Yeah. And the sad thing is I corrected you, and we were both wrong.
Yeah.
Catastrophically, in reality. And the Indianapolis 500 is 500 miles.
Not laps.
Not laps.
It's so, also not 300 miles or laps.
300 has nothing to do with it.
300 has nothing to do with it.
Just for clarity's sake, the track is 2.5 miles long for 500 miles, which makes it 200 laps.
I'm glad we got that sorted out.
So I'm just glad we got that out of the way. Felt a little embarrassed.
Yeah. Well, we're still learning.
A little red in the cheeks.
It's okay. I mean, you're a Formula One guy. So.
Yeah, I mean, who even cares about an oval at this point?
Anyways, we should move on here. Let's just talk about highs from the weekend, Landon. Anything exciting from the weekend, past week, before the last time we recorded?
I went back to Chicago.
Oh, nice.
This past weekend. So I was there.
The Windy City?
The Windy City.
There you go.
I was there from Thursday evening until Sunday morning.
Okay.
Excuse me. And it was a great time. It was a great time. A friend came with me, hung out there for the weekend, ate some good food, got some deep dish, got some Chicago milkshakes, and went to class for 8 hours on Saturday. And it was a grind, but it was really interesting. Talked about Paul and Romans and all sorts of things.
That sounds like a fun time.
It was a good time. Good time indeed.
Very nice. So, very nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, it was quite the weekend for myself. I got to take my lovely girlfriend, Autumn, and a couple of friends, Isaac, my roommate, and his fiance, Anna.
Yes.
We went to the Ohio State football game on Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Arkansas State, was it?
Arkansas State. Wow. Yes. It was a great time. You know, I think for me, it was just super exciting to show, like, my girlfriend and my friends, like, the Ohio State football experience.
Mm-hmm.
Before the game, we went to the Skull Session.
Oh.
Are you familiar with the Skull Session?
No, not even a little.
Okay. It's not like death or anything.
It's a little misleading.
It is maybe a little misleading. But it is when the Ohio State band, known as the best dang band in the land, I'm going to say that because if I say what it actually is, this podcast could get explicit.
Explicit. We don't want that.
Which we don't really want that.
No.
The best dang band in the land.
Wow.
And they play like the fight song, and they play some other songs and get us – it's like a pep rally. It's like a big pep rally to get you hyped up for the game. And before that, which we actually missed this part, which is kind of sad, but it's okay. I've seen it before, but I was kind of disappointed that they didn't get to see it. But the players walk through.
Oh, wow.
And the coaches. And they're all in their like really nice suits that CJ Stroud paid for with his NIL deal.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And they all walk in, and then one of the coaches or the players gives this big rousing speech, getting us fired up for the game. Like, yeah, we're going to go out there and we're going to kick their butt and all that stuff.
I mean, wow, inspiring.
Real inspiring stuff, yeah. And then, yeah, we went to the stadium and watched the game, and Ohio State played great. I mean, Arkansas State is not the best team in the country, let's just put it that way. And, yeah, we got the win and we stayed for the whole game. Then at the end, we swayed back and forth together in San Carmen, Ohio, and it almost brought tears to my eyes. It was wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a weekend.
It was really fun, yeah.
And stayed with some friends in the area?
Yes, wow. Yeah. And I should mention we stayed with the Hess family in Columbus, and so shout out to them. I don't know if they listen to the pod, but
not yet. They will.
Not yet. Maybe they will. But yeah, Zach and Sarah, wonderful, wonderful people, friends, longtime friends. Zach's known me since I was, oh goodness, we talked about this actually, like since I was probably like 7 or 8, somewhere in that range, like really young. So he's been a lifelong family friend. So it was really fun hanging out with them and introducing them to Autumn and stuff like that. So
that's phenomenal. I mean, here's the most important question. How did Autumn respond to such an immersion?
I mean, I think she was pretty excited. Uh-huh. Maybe we'll have to have her on the pod to ask her about it. No, but I think she was excited and enjoyed the whole experience. And I think it was fun just having us together in that element. And yeah, it was a wonderful time.
That's delightful.
Yeah.
I'm really stoked to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I think we should move on here. Let's talk about, I think one of the things I want to talk about here as we head into our next segment is we'll do a top five here.
Top five. Love it.
Top five favorite, I kind of put this in like a broader category, but pastors, speakers, teachers to listen to. I think a lot of people have like on certain issues or even certain like theological opinions to have kind of go-to guys for like issues or like, oh, what does so-and-so think about this? Or just, you know, people that are really good preachers and really, really faithful to the word. Mm-hmm. So I put together a top five here for myself. Do you have like a top five or?
I don't have a top five, but I have reasons why.
Okay.
And so I'm excited to hear your top five and then we can kind of respond.
Okay, yeah.
And
I'll share my top five and then we can kind of talk about it a little bit. But at number five for me, this is as of right now, not like ever in my life. I also want to put a disclaimer that my number one would be my own father, but I felt like that was a bit unfair. And
it's
a
not
bit
allowed.
Cheesy.
Yeah, can't do that.
He would be my number one. I want to make that very clear so that I don't get flamed here because I will. So he is not on the list, but so my number five is actually a rapper. Have you heard of Shylin?
I feel like I might have sometime at one point heard of him, but I have no idea who he is.
Okay. So he's like a Christian like hip hop artist, but basically was trained, I believe, under like Mark Dever, went to Capitol Hill in DC.
Okay, yeah.
And was trained under Dever and is really, really solid. Like I don't know. You probably haven't listened to his music. I don't really listen to his music very much. But like some of his music are just like laying out doctrines. Like it's like the most like, I don't even know, like Calvinist, like, like let me just lay out this doctrine in rap form.
Right.
But it's really good. Like it's really good stuff. But I think I just want to shout out this year at T4G, he preached a message that was...
That's right. That's where I've heard of him.
Did I send it to you?
No, but I think you told me about it. Yeah.
It was a heater. It was really good. Basically talking about how in our camp, we so often focus on just doctrine and like the truths about God, and we don't remember Jesus and like remember who he is and what he's done.
Word.
And even as like, and I'm in this context at T4G, he's mainly, I think he's talking mainly to like pastors, even pastors mm-hmm. who have forgotten, like, do we remember and revere Jesus like we should? Because we're so focused on these doctrinal things, and doctrine is very important. I don't want to undermine that.
Right. It has to point to something greater though.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that you talk about that because I was just, you know, studying up Moody, and I'm, goodness gracious, I'm no, I feel like me even saying I'm not a pastor makes it sound like I think I'm close, and that like, couldn't even be farther from the truth. Like,
yeah.
Not at all. So like, that's a different level in terms of the people he's talking to and what they've been through and what they've studied. So like, that's awesome. But even, you know, we're in Romans for 8 hours and we're talking about essentially how Paul says in Romans 3 that we are saved by faith apart from works.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked a lot about what from works or of the law is the actual preposition of phrase, what it's referring to. And there, you know, there's, you know, conversations and stuff about whether that's laws of Moses, Mosaic law versus like morality and mm-hmm. good works and stuff like that. All that being said, you know, at the heart of the discussion is like we are saved not by what we do, but by what we believe in,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
In our faith. And like I went home and I was like, man, I really want to praise the Lord for that and thank him for that truth mm-hmm. and not let it just sit in my head.
Yeah.
Because so often that's what I do with these, you know, doctrines I'm learning, like, oh, wow, that's really fascinating. And when I don't let it, you know, kind of sink down into my soul.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of a quote that I heard of like the gospel is not like, here's what Jesus did. Now go and do that. Like the whole what would Jesus do thing. It's here's what Jesus has done. Now believe that mm-hmm. and like
yeah.
understand and, you know, affirm that in our own hearts, what Christ has already done for us. And yeah, Shiloh's message there was really, really good. And I think almost every sermon I've heard from him has been like, wow, like that's really, really good. Anyways, moving on to number four. I have Brian Chappell. Have you heard of Brian Chappell before?
Okay.
No. I don't know a ton about him, but I know that he has written a bunch of preaching books for pastors.
Interesting.
And I got exposure to him because I'm not a big reader, to be honest with you. Something I'm trying to work on.
Unlike your father.
Unlike both of my parents are
that's
massive readers.
That's so true.
They said they cannot – I don't know if I should say this, but I'm just going to. I think my parents pray pretty much every night that I become a reader. Like – they are desperate for me to be a reader. And I am trying really hard. I'm actually reading a book right now. So that's good. I'm on the right path.
Wow.
But
I'm impressed.
I'm really trying. Anyways, but he wrote some preaching books. I haven't read any of them.
Yeah.
But I got exposure to him through the film American Gospel.
Yes.
He's American Gospel. And I absolutely loved what he had to say and on a lot of issues. And so I went and listened to more sermons. Went and listened to just some talks that he's done, and all of it was just really good stuff, really, really good stuff. He had a quote in American Gospel that I love to share with people and I think is really just impactful in my own life is he said, the reason that we sin is because we love it, and this is a wonderful understanding because it means the power over that sin is a greater love.
Yeah, I remember that. And that's from the first one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he's talking about Christ there, like how we love our sin so much, but Christ's love for us is even greater. And so that's always super comforting to me. So yeah, Brian Chappell, really good stuff.
Solid.
At number three, good old Johnny P.
I don't know who that is.
John Piper.
I'm kidding. Of course I know who John Piper
yeah.
is. I mean, the staple of Reformedom.
Pretty
in
much.
The modern culture.
The gateway drug for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would like being referred to as a gateway drug.
Maybe not.
But the metaphor stands.
Yeah, yeah. Just a lot. I mean, so much wisdom. Have you seen a picture of him, by the way, these days? He's getting old.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
I've like, not seen a picture. I'm not going to look one up just
yeah,
for his own.
Yeah.
No.
You know, John, if you're listening to this podcast.
John, if I had a chance to listen to this podcast, first of all, thank you.
you're a lovely man who has spoken a lot of truth to a lot of people. So thank you for that. Anyways, yeah. Number two, I have Vody Bachum.
I do know Vody Bachum.
Yeah.
Yes. You show me a couple clips of Vody.
Yeah.
And he says it how it is, and it's real good.
Very passionate, very Christ-centered, exalting what Christ has done. You know, he's written about a lot of different issues, and we don't have to get into all of that, but I've really appreciated his take on a lot of things, and just his honestly his passion for the word and how it that you know affects people's lives. So yeah, Vodi at number two. And then I think my favorite right now is Costihin.
Don't even know.
Costihin, I should say. I think it's pronounced Costi.
Wow. How could you?
Another guy that I found from American Gospel.
Yep.
This film. His uncle is Benny Hinn.
Okay. That's what I was like, that sounds really familiar to the prosperity gospel guy. I know it's not him.
Yeah. Benny Hinn is his uncle.
I remember this.
And
he worked with Benny for a while.
He worked for Benny. Yep. He was in the prosperity gospel world, Word of Faith movement. He was NAR, was in all of that. And actually, I believe he went to play baseball at like Dallas Baptist.
Interesting.
And basically had a coach there that kind of planted a seed of this idea that God is sovereign. And so Costi had never heard that before, that God is sovereign. And so that, I think, was – and he talks about this in his own life. That was a big seed. But anyways, he kind of came out of that movement and started – had someone kind of mentor him as he was coming out of that movement. And I think was a big proponent of listening to like John MacArthur and that whole like grace to you
mm-hmm.
MacArthur crowd, and found some, you know, really good biblical truth, and kind of became reformed and all that stuff. And I just absolutely love his stuff. He's actually planning a church right now. They've had a couple of Sundays now, I think. I don't know all the details, but yeah, really love listening to him. He has a podcast that I'll shout out. That's one of my favorite listens. He has a ministry called For the Gospel, and they do a podcast. And his whole goal is to he always says take the cookies down from the top shelf, basically trying to get us to take these hard doctrines or hard concepts theologically, and kind of take them down for the everyday lay mm-hmm. person.
Yeah, yeah.
And what does this mean? How does this affect my life? That type
of
thing. And I appreciate that a lot because I am I'm not a biblical studies major. I don't know what these mean, you know?
Yeah.
But,
well, the thing is too, like, you know more than a lot of people, you know?
Probably. But,
which is like totally okay, and why I love what he's doing.
Yeah.
In that sense, because I think an issue with theology and an issue that a lot of people have with academic theology is that people that study it can get on their high horse and be like, oh, well, we have to talk about it in these very prestigious terms
mm-hmm.
without bringing it, like, kind of like what we're talking about, of like bringing it down to your heart of like where it matters, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
When the rubber meets the road.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, yeah. No, so I really appreciate Costi. Just his humility. He actually commented on one of my Twitter posts, so that was pretty exciting.
Wow.
I kind of tagged him in it. And, anyways, but I love Costi. But, yeah, let's talk about, like, you said you don't really have a top five or
– I don't have a top five. I would listen to one – there's one pastor that I will listen to on Spotify, not even consistently, but if I'm looking for a sermon to listen to,
mm-hmm.
That's who I'll go to.
Okay.
His name is Joby Martin.
Joby Martin. Okay. I don't think I'm familiar with him.
It's funny because he's reformed. He's like, I'll get into it. Pastor of a church in Jacksonville, Florida called the Church of 1122.
Okay.
And it's like one of the fastest growing churches in the nation, which usually for me is like a big like...
Pump the brakes here.
Yeah, because I'm... It's usually not a great sign of like sound theology being preached or
not all the time, but
not
sometimes
all the time,
for sure.
But some of the times for sure. And so usually it's like a red flag and then you kind of look into it and it's okay sort of thing. And so I was like, man, like pastor of a mega church, and my friends' parents were all like, you have to listen to this guy. He's the best ever. His series on Song of Solomon is like the best thing you'll ever hear. And I was like, usually when people tell me that, I'm kind of like, whatever. Like,
yeah,
not for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine, like, I'll listen to it. And it was really, really good.
That's awesome.
Like, phenomenal. And so I think he says it how it is, you know? And, like, it's one of those situations where the church is growing because, like, the Lord is working.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah,
and I think
awesome.
He's handling it really well. And I love that he's not famous because his primary goal is preaching to his to his congregation. So I think that's really great. Really appreciate him.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't have a top five. And some of it's probably for, like, some good reasons, some of it some not so great reasons, because I'm hesitant to listen to preaching online because kind of like what I said with Joby Martin mm-hmm. is like people all talk about him and I'm like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I think my biggest thing is like I see a lot of people our age who are committed to theology in really good ways mm-hmm. take these preachers, pastors, and not even worship them in like an idolic sense, but just align their theology completely with what that person says mm-hmm. with that. And then like I'm even yeah. myself, yourself, like no person is 100% correct. Like it's, I don't think it's possible, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, obviously there's people that are going to be from the same camp that we align with a lot more than others. Are you getting a weird feedback too?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know what that is, but I think it's okay. I think we should just keep rolling.
Yeah, let's just keep going.
Kind of align themselves over the top, and it's like, well, for instance, I see this a lot with John MacArthur people.
Okay.
I don't have anything against John MacArthur.
Yeah, I think he's great.
I think he's great. But I see a lot of people that like John MacArthur a lot are a lot.
We're getting into dangerous waters here.
We're getting into dangerous waters. Sorry,
No. Let's continue this I think it's a good point.
Okay. And so I think similarly with that, and I think not to get too deep into the dangerous waters. I think part of that's like the aura mm-hmm. and the personality that John MacArthur kind of exudes, which his choice, his thing. He loves the Lord.
Yeah.
Wonderful theologian.
Godly man.
Godly man.
Yeah.
Like that's not at all what I'm saying. Is that he's not those things. So anyway, I think some of that kind of turned me off to listen to like a bunch of online preaching. Mm-hmm. And then also this is a point that you and I have talked about before. We both 100% agree on like our favorite preacher for both of us is our pastor.
Yeah.
Our local church pastor is our yeah. favorite person to listen to. That's why we go to the church that we go to.
Yeah. I think that's really the point that I think mm-hmm. maybe we want to make here is, well, 2 points. One, you kind of alluded to, we can go into a little bit more, is the whole celebrity pastor thing. Is dangerous. It's really dangerous. And the other thing is, your local church pastor should be your favorite pastor to listen to. Like, you know, they say the pulpit drives the church. So if you're not hearing good preaching, like that, it probably is going to lead to some sort of church struggles.
And not just good preaching, good personal preaching that you're yeah. in, that you're sitting with a congregation that you're a part of.
Yeah, and we're like. You know, when we go to church on Sundays, like we can be personally, like our pastor knows us personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when we're dealing with something, I'm not saying never do this, but if we go to like John MacArthur or like, you know, Piper or whoever mm-hmm. our favorite is or Costi or whoever our favorite is, right? Like they can sure give us wisdom, but they don't know us personally.
They don't know us. Yeah, exactly.
And so yeah. like with my local pastor and your local pastor, like they know us, like who we are. And they should be the ones we go to for help and for guidance
and counsel. Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important to get to know your local pastor
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Like enjoy their preaching and then take the time to ask them out to coffee.
Yeah.
To ask to have like a meeting in their office because just even like this was funny. I met with my pastor when we kind of moved into this church that we're in now.
Yeah.
And he and I touched base a couple times. And so I got home one day. This was before I was married. And so I got home to my parents' house. And my dad goes, he's like, oh, what were we doing? I was like, oh, I was meeting with my pastor. He's like, why? Like confession or something like that? And I was like, no. Just like,
yeah.
He's like, why are you meeting with your pastor? I was like, I just think it's really important
yeah.
to know your pastor and build that personal relationship. And this isn't anything against my father. I think it was just, you know,
yeah.
like an example of a lot of people's mindsets of like the pastor is the person that preached and he doesn't know me unless there's an issue.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, I really couldn't feel like more opposite of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's one, like his preaching gets better when you know them and you mm-hmm. know their heart and you know more of the context of what they're saying.
Yeah.
So I love my local church pastor. I love listening to him. But that does not make at all, and this is kind of what we're moving into as well, like listening to these pastors is not wrong
yeah.
at all. You know, they have a lot to offer. They have some very interesting
yeah.
Different, you know, points of view that are really important to hear. And it's great. And so like it's not wrong at all, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it can be unhealthy mm-hmm. when taken to an extreme.
Yeah, and I think again, as we kind of mentioned, this there's a little bit too much, I think, of this celebrity pastor vibe of like, you're dealing with this, like,
mm-hmm.
Listen to like the rock star pastor that is just the most amazing person ever
right.
in the world, right? And you know, I think it's okay if we are like struggling with a theological concept, and we have someone that we love to listen to, and to just talk about the, talk about those issues or whatever. But at the same time, like, our, you know, our local church pastor, as we said, like, knows us. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think that's so important. Like, having that connection, with my pastor, Pastor Mark at Christ Covenant Church, I guess we should say that. And you go to First Christian, right?
I do. Pastor Matthew Rogers.
Okay, yeah.
Plug in for Pastor Matthew.
Shout out.
Speaking of quick little sidebar, and then once you're done saying something, I have something to add because I think it's important.
Yeah.
But quick super sidebar. I was driving past your church this morning on my way to work. Saw Pastor Mark on a run in the parking lot.
Oh, man.
So good for Mark. Really good to see him out there.
I see him at the Y all the time.
Man.
The guy. An athlete. I mean, he's probably not going to become like David Platt, like jacked.
David Platt's jacked. Yeah.
Probably. But he's in good physical condition, you know?
We love to see it.
You love to see it.
We love to see it.
But yeah, I mean, I think we've created this culture around certain pastors of like we lift them up very quickly, mm-hmm. and it's like this is the rock star pastor, and then what happens when like sin happens,
right?
You know, like that is crushing to so many people. Like you know, I think the easy example to think of is the Mars Hill situation, and that
for sure,
that podcast, like a church that was like elevated Mark Driscoll so high and mm-hmm. was like,
this is the man,
and then all of a sudden we hear all these issues that are coming up, and it's like crushing to so many people. Like so many people from that church, you hear stories of like questioning faith mm-hmm. after that experience. And
because their faith was no longer based on Christ. It was based on
this person. This yeah.
Which is what I was thinking about too, because it's like what Paul says. I forget in which letter and what verse. Forgive me. But at somewhere in the New Testament, and it's written by Paul, He mentions believers that are saying that they're followers of Paul, followers of Peter, you know, and there's becoming like disparity. Is that the right word? Like conflict, between them because they're like, oh, I'm following Paul. Oh, I've been baptized by Peter. And he's like, stop. Like, we are the ones that have led you to Christ. Like Christ is what unites us, not your pastor, not your mentor, not your church even.
Yeah.
That's a little bit different. And we don't need to get into it. But like ultimately, it's not your church. It's not your pastor. It's not your mentor. It's not your friends. It's not even your theological camp to an extent.
Yeah.
It's Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Christ.
Amen, dude.
And so, yeah, I think that's the issue when it comes to celebrity pastors. I'm doing air quotes for people who can't see because it's – we can get into this. Oh, yeah. Like I love John Piper.
Yeah.
I'm a John Piper guy. Mm-hmm. Or, well, I'm a MacArthur guy.
Yeah.
Or I'm a Platt guy. Whatever it is. Like, I'm a Christ guy.
Yeah.
We're all Christ guys and women, girls.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I think a good pastor is going to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, like, so anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, let's move on. That was a good discussion. Let's go to a little bit of sports here I wanted to get into.
I love it.
We're going to start something here on this podcast. We're going to do some picks of the week.
I love this. You texted me this today in our little podcast chat, which is two people.
Our production meetings.
Production meetings, which is a text message, not even a thread because it's just you and me.
It's just
a text.
Yeah.
We had talked about doing Twombly trivia, which I think is still happening at some point, but probably not today. And we're replacing it with picks of the week.
Yeah, let's do a little picks of the week.
Can you explain to me how this works?
Yeah, let's explain. So I'm thinking here with this segment, we'll do three picks.
Each
of us.
Okay. Are we combining our picks or are we doing them separately?
No, separately. So my thought process here is we can look at whether this is NFL, NBA, college football, the Premier League, heck, Formula One, I don't even know. Like,
I mean, those predictions aren't really hard. Like, Max is going to win. Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and what I'm thinking with this is I don't want this to be like for example, like Ohio State football plays Toledo today. Or not today, Saturday.
They're going to win.
I'm not like, okay, one of my picks of the week is Ohio State to beat Toledo. Like, okay, come on.
That's not,
But, so I want games that are like going to be closer games, like that have a pretty close spread.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, let me just jump into my first one. My first one is in the NFL. And we're going to keep a running tally of this, I think, or at least want to throughout the year of our record. And I should say as well, we have our three picks that we're going to make, like kind of like locks, like our three like locks of the week type of thing. And then we're going to do an upset pick, like an underdog.
Oh, I like it.
An underdog pick. I have mine mapped out. Landon, I think, is looking at his phone right now trying to figure something out.
I have two picks. I didn't understand the format completely, but now I get it. So I'm coming up with a couple more here. But just continue. I might steal some of your games.
Okay.
We'll see.
So my first pick, and we can get into this a little bit, is I have the Vikings over the Eagles this week on Sunday.
Man, that's an interesting
The
pick.
Eagles are – this is actually the Monday Night Football game.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Or at least one of them. I think there's actually two. Yeah. One of the Monday Night Football games. But the Eagles are actually – both teams are 1-0. The Eagles are favored to win. It's in Philly. But, man, did you watch the Vikings this past weekend?
I didn't. I mean, they beat the Packers 23-7, though.
Yeah.
Like
– they were impressive.
Yeah.
I'm not really like a big Vikings guy, or even like I'm not even super high on Kirk Cousins. I think he's like the most basic.
He's
like,
the most average quarterback in the NFL. Like, we can get into that later, but I think he's the most average quarterback in the NFL.
He's just game manager, like very like good arm. Nothing spectacular though.
Nothing spectacular. But what they do have is Justin Jefferson, who is spectacular.
He is spectacular. Did you see it? He had like, I think he had like 30 fantasy points.
39.
No,
PPR.
Like 30 in like the first half.
Goodness gracious.
Like he had like over 100 and something yards. I think it was like over 150 yards. And like
yeah, that's crazy.
In like the first half. It was incredible. But they looked really good, not just offensively with Justin Jefferson, but defensively as well.
Shutting down Aaron Rodgers. Granted, that Packers offense is tough because it's week one.
Yeah.
We don't exactly know are the Packers good? I really don't know. Like, they could get to week five and they're like 1-4 and we're like, wow, the Packers are bad.
Or the Vikings could be bad.
Or the Vikings
played a bad team. Like we don't really know.
We really don't know.
But
same thing with the Eagles. The Eagles game week one was very interesting too because they beat the Lions 38-5, which 38 points.
38-35.
Oh, excuse me. Wow. That's not what I'm. Yeah, 38-35.
Yeah.
38 points is great. Lions scoring 35 points on you is not great.
That's tough.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's real tough.
I'm going to be honest. But, I mean, I really like this Vikings team. I think not just their offense, but defensively they look great. They had a couple, and poor Aaron Rodgers, like, has not many great receivers to throw to. But still, like, they were very locked down. Like, their defensive line, their front seven played really well, made it hard for Aaron to to kind of get things going on offense. But I really like the Vikings. It's hard for me to see why they're underdogs in this game. I know it's in Philly, but...
It's in Philly. I think also Kirk Cousins has historically been terrible in primetime games.
Yeah.
Great on a Sunday afternoon.
At 1 o'clock.
Like 1 o'clock, 4
where
o'clock.
Only people from Minnesota are watching the game.
Yeah, and he's electric.
Yeah.
Primetime, he's not been as good. But, like, again, I just don't think the Eagles are great.
Yeah.
I don't love Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jalen Hurts is a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great quarterback.
Mm.
Great fantasy quarterback.
Some might disagree with you. That might be kind of a lukewarm take there, which
really?
We can get into later.
Interesting. But. Maybe we'll – who knows? Maybe that's my lukewarm take of the week. But, yeah, I like that pick. It could go either way, but I like the pick.
Yeah. Do you want to go or you want me to say another one?
Yeah, I'll go.
Okay,
I'll go.
Go ahead.
So I picked what I see are like two big games. Obviously, NFL-wise, it's tough. It's week two.
Mm-hmm.
Not as many big games early on, but I think this is an in-division game between two really good teams with two really, really good young quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of define how the rest of their season goes in terms of confidence. It's Chiefs-Chargers, Thursday night.
Phenomenal game.
Phenomenal game. I mean, Justin Herbert is electric, had a great first game, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Patrick Mahomes, I think, is going to have his best year as an NFL quarterback. Doesn't have as many weapons. It's going to have to be just at the top of his game, and I think he needs it to grow.
He looked phenomenal week one.
And
though.
He looked absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
5 touchdowns, no picks.
Yeah.
And just, who did they play?
They played the Cardinals.
They played the Cardinals, and they roasted the Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are a good football team.
Yeah. No, he looked great. And I think a lot of people were worried about with the departure of Tyreek Hill, like how their offense would look. But I think
it's only going to make him better.
Yeah, I think honestly, like he had so much attention and kind of weight on his shoulders. Like Mahomes, it was kind of the like if Mahomes is in trouble, just kind of throw it up to Tyreek and he'll go make a play type of thing. But now he's got – it's. I feel like they have a wider spread of playmakers. Like Juju Smith-Schuster looked really good.
Dude, he looked jacked.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I was telling Tori, I was like, Juju on the Steelers looked normal. On the Chiefs, he was a monster.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it this way, like Juju with – like played for the Steelers, like older quarterback who was – kind of like Big Ben's great, but was kind of on the decline of his career, kind of towards the end, and was basically wide receiver one, like that they really relied on. He was seeing their best corner every week. Now with the Chiefs,
I think he's still, be a nice late bloomer here for Juju.
He still might be seeing, you know, the other team's best corner, but still, like, there's so many other weapons you have to account
for. The Chiefs still have so many weapons. Yeah. I mean, Travis Kelce, obviously. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a great game.
Great game,
McCole Hardman is very good. Yeah. A couple good rookie wide receivers. And, like, Chiefs are good. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be even better than he was his first year and last year and the year after that because he's more mature. Mm-hmm. He's smarter. He's playing quicker. He's making better, like, checking down more, hitting the easy guy. I think he's going to be fantastic. I think the Chiefs are going to be fantastic.
Yeah. So who are you picking in the game?
In the game, I got the Chiefs. I do. I love the Chargers. I think the Chargers are super interesting. I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah.
Chargers defensively really good. Khalil Mack, great ad. Joey Bosa, Ohio State guy.
Yeah.
Good O-line from what I know. I mean, Herbert again.
Herbert looked phenomenal week one as well.
Really super accurate. Just a smart guy. Good pocket passer. Can move. I'm excited for the game. Excited to watch.
Thursday night football.
I think the Chiefs are going to pull it out, but I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I'll move on to my second pick here. We're going to just take a quick departure from the NFL and go to college football because, as you know, I'm a big college football guy.
Indeed.
There's not a ton of great games, I'm going to be honest. In college football, there's not a ton of great games this week. There's a couple that are really interesting that I thought about picking. For example, there's BYU-Oregon, both ranked teams.
BYU's ranked?
BYU is the number 12 team in the country.
Wow.
They just beat Baylor. They beat Baylor last weekend, which is a big win for them. Oregon coming off that demolition that they got from Georgia. I mean, Georgia just smoked them.
But that was bad.
That was really bad. So that might be a really interesting game. It's in Eugene. So Oregon is the home team. So that could be really interesting. There's also, I'll shout out real quick, the big game of the weekend, I think, is Miami versus Texas A&M. That should be an interesting game.
Interesting. Are they ranked at all?
Both of them are ranked. Texas A&M, I think, is 24. They just lost to App State, though. That was kind of the big upset. Yeah, one of the big upsets of last week. There's a lot of upsets last week in college football.
Notre Dame, Marshall. I mean, we don't need to get into it, but yeah.
Our Notre Dame audience is going to want us to avoid that topic. anyways, but yeah, so. But the one I'm going to pick this week is, I think, is a really interesting game. It's Penn State against Auburn. Big Ten versus SEC.
Yeah.
Auburn unranked, but you know Auburn is always a pretty solid football team.
Great conference. Like they have to have to be good.
Yeah. Penn State ranked 22nd in the country. This is a really interesting game. I actually like Penn State in
Where's it at? Is it in Auburn?
It's at Auburn.
Interesting.
So Penn State gonna have to go on the road, but I actually really like Penn State in this game. I think it's gonna be tough. SEC front sevens are always just kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, but Penn State's run game is really good, and it depends on what version of Sean Clifford we get. If Sean Clifford, Penn State's quarterback, if he kind of is reckless with the ball, and like they're going to get pounded, I think. But I think I'm a believer in Sean Clifford. I think when he's on, like he is a really good, just field general. Not the best arm in the world, but he can really he does a good job of sustaining drives. I think so. I like Penn State over Auburn there in college football. Do you have another pick?
I like that pick. Penn State's obviously on the short list of possible college fandoms.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I'm cheering for Penn State too. but that's interesting. I mean, obviously, Big Ten, SEC, like as a Big Ten fan, you probably want the Big Ten team to win.
Yeah, I definitely want Penn State to win. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. My second game, we're moving not even just leagues. We're moving across the pond.
We're moving sports. And countries.
We're going Premier League.
Yeah.
This game is postponed, so we don't know when it's happening. But Chelsea-Liverpool.
Really interesting matchup.
It's a really interesting matchup for multiple reasons. First of all, I mean, obviously two of the top five teams, historically, like Big Five.
Yeah.
So Power Five, I think is what they're called. And so like that in itself is interesting, but these two teams have had a really poor start to the season.
Mm-hmm.
and need a big win.
Yeah, Chelsea. I'm looking at it now. Chelsea sitting at sixth in the table. Liverpool 7. Yeah. So
right up against each other. Disappointing starts. And I obviously I'm picking Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool fan. But it's really interesting. And I think this game is really, really important for the rest of the year because with how good City is this year, you can really only lose one game.
Yeah.
Maybe. And you're probably still not like to have any sort of chance, we gotta start winning games. And so it's really a must win for both teams. Like even a draw is not really on the table here. Yeah. And so Liverpool's won one game this year.
Yeah, they've
no, two games. Excuse me. We beat Newcastle and Bournemouth.
You definitely dropped some points. Like
dropped a ton of points. Lots of draws.
Yeah.
And we just was shockingly like we have not been able to score goals, and that historically has really not been the issue. We were creating chances. It's stuff I was thinking this morning. I was like, I can't panic on Liverpool because we're creating chances and we have finishers. Like we have finishers. We're gonna finish chances. It's just gonna take a little bit of time. But it's been tough because we're not we lost to Napoli in the Champions League 4-1, which hurt.
That's a tough L.
And then we squeaked out a win against Ajax yesterday 2-1, but it's an 88th minute headed by Joel Matip, and it's like header. And I'm excited about that. Super stoked we got the win, but we had so many chances. And defensively, I mean, Trent Alexander-Arnold is my favorite player in the world. I love him to death. Attacking. He is
so good at putting balls into the box.
He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Defensively, it's a liability.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see how it goes with Liverpool. I mean, Chelsea have some good attack. I mean, Raheem Sterling, Kai Havertz, not great.
Yeah.
But formidable for sure. And again, like both of the teams have to win. Chelsea just got a new manager. So, I mean, they're kind of like, we got to get a win. Liverpool, obviously, so I'm really interested. I got Liverpool in the game, but...
That's a great game. I'm really excited to watch that one, actually. Let's keep things moving here. Running a little long, but that's all right.
Went on there.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We can keep things moving here. My third pick here, and there's not a ton to talk about here, at least I think. But I've got the Cardinals beating the Raiders this weekend. Obviously disappointing week one, but you're playing the Chiefs, so I think they're going to bounce back. They're actually underdogs in that game. The Raiders are favored. Davante Adams had a really good week one. I got the Cardinals over the Raiders in that one. How about you?
I like that. I think that's great. I have nothing else to say about that. Okay. Raiders are a good team, but Cardinals are going to need to bounce back win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Cardinals win that game for sure. My third game, I'm stuck between two. I think... Very similar. I think I'm going to go. I think I have the Giants over the Panthers.
Okay.
This week.
Okay.
I was really impressed with the Giants last week.
Yeah, they played great.
Saquon Barkley actually looked like
he looked great,
like the Saquon Barkley that we all want back. So I'm happy with that pick.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Now we can kind of move on into our underdog pick. Mm-hmm. This is one where the team has to be an underdog in the game, and this one is an interesting pick and might receive some feedback here, but I got the Bears over the Packers on Sunday Night Football.
I like it. I really like it.
Packers are 9.5-point favorites at home. Understandable. Aaron Rodgers has owned the Bears for pretty much his career.
Yes.
But, you know, watching week one, the Bears had a great win against the 49ers. Many people expected them to win that game. And it wasn't pretty. It was in Chicago. It was pouring rain.
Yep.
It was just...
I was in Chicago Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Horrible.
Downpour.
Horrible.
I mean, the field looked, like, really bad.
Miserable.
And the first half stats for both quarterbacks were just hilarious. Like, it was like Justin Fields was, like, 3 of 9 for, like, 20 yards.
Gosh.
Like, and Trey Lance was, like, 5 of 8 for, like, 60 yards. Like,
it was so bad.
It was nothing
on the ground.
Spectacular. But... I think the Bears are starting to find a formula for Justin Fields. Even though they don't have the weapons quite yet, they have become, at least from what I've seen, they're starting to become more run the football with Montgomery, who's a great back, and then play action out of it and get Fields on the move, use his legs, use their big tight ends that they have. And it worked for him against the 49ers. They really kind of physically dominated that game. And the Packers, against Minnesota, as I kind of mentioned earlier, they just – I mean, their O-line did not look great. They didn't look super physical. I like Chicago in that game, mm-hmm. I think.
I like it too. I mean, definitely deserved to be an underdog.
Yeah, yeah.
But very reasonably could get the win.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident with that one, but we'll see how it plays out. Honestly, the Packers can win by 40, and I could look like a complete idiot. But
we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Okay, I got mine.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of shocked that this team is this much of an underdog.
Okay.
I got the Dolphins over the Ravens.
Interesting.
Play at one this week. I believe it's in Baltimore. M&T Bank Stadium. That's in the Ravens Stadium. So it's in Baltimore. The Ravens are 72% likely to win.
Wow.
Which is shocking to me. The Dolphins are an interesting team. I think they're Tyreek Hill, Tua's a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good options. Jalen,
Waddle, Gesicki. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got some weapons.
A good team. I mean, again, probably deserve to be underdogs in this game, but not that bad. And so I really think that the Dolphins could go into Baltimore and get a win.
Yeah, I think the spread is actually, as I have it here, 3.5. But still.
Okay. Oh, that's not as bad.
But still, though, I'm a little surprised by that as well. I think there's kind of a contrasting styles there. Miami is very explosive, big play, take the top off the defense, whereas Baltimore is very pound the ball down your throat until you can stop it, basically.
Right.
And I'm unsure of J.K. Dobbins' status in that game. I don't know if he's coming back for that game. They rested him against the Jets. Well, not rested him. They said he's still coming back. He tore his ACL last year.
Yep, coming
back from that. But, he's been, in practice and training camp, and he looked great in those things. So I'm hoping he comes back for them. But, that'll be a really interesting game, kind of a contrast mm-hmm. of styles a little bit. But
yep.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
All right.
I don't know if I'm confident, but I like it.
Okay. I like it. Let's move on to our last topic here as we're running a little long, but that's all right. Lukewarm take of the week. We're not here to make hot takes or even cold takes.
Just lukewarm ones.
Just lukewarm ones.
Yeah,
we want lukewarm takes. And maybe we can get some feedback on some of the takes. Maybe they're hotter or colder than we think. But my lukewarm take this week is in college football. And we don't have to talk too long about this, but I have. So I'm not saying that they're going to win the game.
Okay.
I'm going to the Texas versus UTSA game.
Okay.
Texas San Antonio. Texas just came off a big game against Alabama last week.
Almost by one.
Almost won the game. Probably should have.
I don't know if you watched it, but
Texas probably should have won that game. Alabama escaped. That was more of, and I think even in the press conference, Texas coach Steve Sarkisian was saying. I told our players we didn't lose. We just ran out of time.
Hmm.
Texas dominated that game. And so I like Texas. I think they're a good football team. Their starting quarterback just got hurt in the game. Quinn Ewers got hurt.
Really?
And despite that, still probably should have won the game.
Wow.
But I think my lukewarm take is that UTSA keeps this within a possession.
Interesting.
Keeps the game within a possession. I don't know anything about UTSA, I'm going to be honest. I know nothing. However, you have this big high of, I would say it's a high. I mean, obviously you're disappointed you lost, but of almost beating Alabama, the number one team in the country, this team
right.
that everyone has praised relentlessly in the offseason and do every year, but, as the clear favorite to win the national title, whatever. And you almost beat them on your home field, and you played pretty well. You had some, obviously, they missed a 20-yard field goal in the game, had some penalties, had some mistakes. And you're on this high, and all the country's talking about you, about how well you did against mm-hmm. Alabama. And I think that might get to him a little bit. I think that all the praise and Texas might be on the road to finally being back. Finally, we're back to where Texas football should be. And I think UTSA keeps this game close. I think they do. I think Texas probably wins the game, but I think it's within a possession.
I think there's two ways that this game goes. Either UTSA is within possession, almost wins.
Yeah.
Or
Texas just absolutely
blows them out of the water.
No, it's true. It's true. I mean, but you got to, kind of put your foot in the water at some point.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my lukewarm take of the week. Yours is interesting to me as well. You share yours.
So my lukewarm take is that by week five, Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starter of the 49ers. It's pretty common. I've heard it before.
Yeah.
before the season started, it was a burning hot take.
Yeah.
Well, and it's still, I still kind of agree with this. Not completely. It depends on how long they let Trey Lance lose, especially after watching the Bears game. Because that 49ers team is good.
Yeah, they're a good football team.
Good team. You can't lose to the Bears 19-10, especially when you're a run-heavy team.
Well, with the weather, too. Yeah. Like, that should have been their bread and butter.
Should have been. And so that's concerning. If you're a 49ers fan, you should be concerned about Trey Lance losing to the Bears week one. I mean, it's week one, but still. So I think by week five, at the latest, Jimmy G's the starter. And I think if they have time, this is a burning hot take. I'm not going to lie. This is scalding hot. But I've thought about it. I've decided I'm going to go with it. I think if Jimmy G gets the start between weeks three and five, there's a real possibility that the Niners win the Super Bowl.
I think smoke is coming behind you.
I think so.
That is a very hot take.
I know.
Especially after their week one performance.
I know, but I think...
To some degree, I can understand. I don't know about Super Bowl, but I can understand they have, like, I mean, Deebo Samuel's really dynamic.
Phenomenal.
Elijah Mitchell just got hurt, which is not great for them, but they still have other options. George Kittle, when he's healthy, is one of the best tight ends in the league.
Really good.
Their defense, their front seven especially, is really solid. And they're good at just, like, playing their game. Mm-hmm. Like
Kyle Shanahan's great coach.
Yeah, yeah. They sort of just impose their will physically on a lot of teams that are a little bit more like flair type of teams. Like we talked about, like the Dolphins or a team like that.
Yeah.
That is just like looking to, you know, for these explosive plays. They're just steady and just pound you down your throat and have their offensive line just lean on you all game. Like,
yeah.
So I can understand the logic there. I don't know if it's going to take them to a Super Bowl. But – yeah, I think, you know, either option, Jimmy G or Trey Lance, is a good option. But
I want Trey Lance to be good. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think I feel bad for Trey Lance because he came just after Patrick Mahomes and has a similar play style to Patty in that he's like big arm, can do a lot of cool things, but he's just not as good. And so a lot of people were like, oh, wow, he's the next Patrick Mahomes, like a year after Patrick Mahomes blew up. And I'm like, okay, it's a little early for the next Patrick Mahomes to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I will say, though, on Twitter I follow Dan Orlovsky, who's an ESPN analyst, and he does these like breakdowns of like certain quarterbacks or whatever, and he did one of Trey Lance, and he was kind of like, okay, let's calm down on the whole Trey Lance thing, because there were some throws that he made that are like really next level throws, and he has that ability. I just don't know if it's going to be consistent enough, where he's going to be able to consistently make those type of throws and – honestly, like, get them wins. Like, that's what they need is wins.
And it's really possible, too. And, like, maybe this year, you know, it's his first year as a starter, and they go 9-8 or whatever it is, and they don't make the playoffs, but Trey Lance grows, and then next year they're good. You know, that's also possible.
Yeah.
At some point, he needs to mature, so.
Yeah, well, those were some good lukewarm takes there, I think. Yeah, we'll see how they play out next week. I don't know when we're going to record next. Hopefully next week.
I would assume next week.
Yeah, but... Yeah. We'll see. Anything else that you want to add, or we should probably get this wrapped up here. We're going a little.
I don't have a single thing
on
to
time.
Say. Not okay. A single one.
Well, this is the That's Tough podcast with Jake Harmon and Landon Twombly, and we'll see you next time.